Yes.
One with special benefits at vegetarian restaurants and cultural institutions?
Well, yes.
Presented in my name?
In a holiday greeting card.
Ooh, that is a good gift. Who would I give it to?
Well, your friends, your enemies.
Who says the mayor doesn't need another gift subscription to WBAI?
Yeah, each membership card gives the mayor two more free admissions to the Brooklyn Museum.
How do I give a membership to WBAI?
Call Greg at 212-209-2817. Credit cards only. The offer's good until December 21st.
What was that number again?
I thought you didn't give gifts.
I don't give ski hats to the mayor.
It's 212-209-2827.
A holiday gift membership to WBAI.
Enlighten your enemies.
It's the season of light.
The Mega Evers College Student Government, the People of the Sun Collective, Akeem Productions, and the Dr. Betty Shabazz International Center for Global Initiatives present Kwanzaa 99 in tribute to Dr. Betty Shabazz, Saturday, December 18th from 4 p.m. till midnight at the Mega Evers College Auditorium, 1650 Bedford Avenue in the People's Republic of Brooklyn. Guests include Shanto, Cheryl Byron and Something Positive, Soul Kareeb, the Crown Heights Youth Collective, Jerome Benton, Deeper Light, and the New Chemist Society. That's Saturday, December 18th from 4 p.m. to midnight. For more information, call Akeem at 718-270-4902. That's 718-270-4902.
Hi, this is Spike Lee, and you are listening to WBAI Community Radio in New York City. WBAI exists almost entirely on your support. Please be generous. Thank you very much.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York. The time is just about 8 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, as we are every Tuesday night. And the last couple of weeks have been a bit hectic, so we're going to try to make up for things by taking some more phone calls this week. So stay tuned as we bring you some updates on what's been going on.
Cutting for tracks, the manager was needed. there, the jitter is over. Here we go now. His name was Steve with a broken specs. Quiet man, I ran enough respect. We met at Natural, screamed the plate. A meal like that, yo, we never ate. Then we met Brian and the Microdot crew. Martin, Matt, and John Black too. Adrenaline Village was a place to be. We had no money, so they got us in free. The first thing Dave, a dead-ass boss, make us play Water Rat, sing King's Cross. We played Five Sons, got credit for four. We went down west, so we decided to tour. Next up, yo, Henry and Mitch, making the show go without a hitch. All up and down the country and side to side. Big Yin driving, yo, bumpy ride. Miles gave us an album deal. We said yes and went for a meal. Drinking champagne at EMI. The irony almost made us cry. Big love, mother love. Big love, stone cold love, stone cold love. All for fight, man. This one's for Scotland, man. Scotland.
Well, I think this week we're going to calm things down just a little bit. What do you think, Isaac?
Oh, I think that would be highly recommended.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy the last few weeks, but we're going to try and take a little breather here. But we do have some rather important things that do need to be addressed, including one thing which is probably going to get me in a lot of trouble because it involves me taking a stand against injustice. And every time I do that, I wind up getting in a lot of trouble for whatever reasons.
Well, what's the injustice this time?
The injustice this time has to do with guess what? A phone company.
Ooh.
Yeah, a phone company. This phone company being one you may be familiar with, known as AT&T.
Oh, that one?
Yeah, recently what started happening was, and some people out there may have noticed this, AT&T has started billing separately. In other words, they don't attach their portion of your phone bill to the local phone bill anymore. So if you happen to have AT&T as your long-distance carrier, well, you'll get an AT&T bill in addition to a Bell Atlantic bill. That's for people here in New York and New Jersey.
Separate envelopes and everything?
Separate envelope, separate bill.
Hmm.
All fine and good. You know, no problems there. You make long-distance calls, I guess you got to pay somebody for them.
I'd actually prefer that.
Yeah, no, I guess, you know, it's another check to write. Although, actually, you know, I looked at my bill very carefully. It gave me an opportunity to look at my bill. And I noticed that I was paying something like $4.95 a month for the right to pay 10 cents a minute to call anywhere in the country. Now, that was a good deal maybe 2 years ago. But now, it's not. You know, now everybody's paying 7 cents a minute or even less for the same $4.95. They don't tell you. They don't tell you when the plans change and when it's to your advantage to move to a better plan. So for the same $4.95, I can pay 3 cents less a minute, except they didn't tell me. I had to figure that out myself. So I registered online. I registered online to change the plan, which was kind of cool. You know, I figured, hey, you know, why wait in line on the phone when I can register online instead? It wasn't until I got to the point where it was finally finished that I realized that they only were accepting people who were putting their credit card numbers there. So in other words, you had to have your billing transferred to your credit card, which, you know, to be honest, was kind of convenient because I didn't have to write another check to AT&T. But after I agreed to that, that's when I found out that you no longer get a paper bill.
Well, why should you?
Well, to find out what the bill is for one thing, to find out what they're charging you for. You know, it's kind of a customary thing to see the phone bill before you pay it.
Well, that's true.
Apparently, they don't want you to do that anymore. So after I went through the whole, yes, I agree, blah, 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 I realized, hey, I'm not going to get a phone bill in the mail anymore. I have to actually go out and look for it myself online. What a pain in the ass. So now I'm stuck. You know, I kind of fell into that trap.
I mean, I'm sure if you called them up and say, I don't want to.
Yeah, then I got to go back and call them and wait in line all over again. It's just not worth the hassle. I just don't think I'll make any phone calls. But on that particular note there are many other lines that I have that I don't make long-distance phone calls on. Now, if you've been listening to this show for a few years, as I have, you may know that they they wind up charging you anyway, even if you don't make long-distance calls. Somehow they wind up charging you for long-distance. You know, the phone companies send you some kind of bill, tax, whatever. AT&T, it winds up being something like almost $6. You have to pay a national access contribution, whatever the hell that is. You have to pay taxes and surcharges. You have to pay the universal connectivity charge, the carrier line charge,
actually,
the federal tax, the New York gross receipts tax surcharge.
Now that you're mentioning it, do you get those taxes charged twice since you're now with AT&T? Like an FCC line charge, do you get one from Bell Atlantic and then one
from
AT&T? Well,
the FCC line charge is associated with your long distance, so no, you don't get it on Bell Atlantic if you don't have. Although MCI has got a neat little scam going where I switched a phone line several months ago to AT&T because they offered me something like a $70 check for a line I don't make any calls on. And MCI is continuing to send me a bill for the monthly fee, even though I don't use them anymore. So that's a whole
strange
other story. Yeah.
All right.
Now here's the campaign. Here's what I'm drawing the line at. As I mentioned, you now get a bill, except when you sign up online and you get an online bill instead. So I won't be getting an envelope for that particular line. But the other line that I have here, where I don't make any phone calls. Well, guess what? I've started to get an envelope every month from AT&T billing me for that line, even though I don't use it for long distance. So they're sending me a bill now for a tax and nothing else. This is the first time in my life I've ever been expected to pay somebody for nothing.
I'll walk into a 7-Eleven. Hey, you owe us 4 cents. Well, what's that for? Sales tax. I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine if you just got some company sent you a bill and said, well, you know, we're just charging you tax because, well, if you did use our service, then we'd be there for you. I guess that's the logic there. So now I'm getting these bills every month. This one was $5.88. Now I've got a second bill. For some reason, that one's $6.31. I don't know why it would be different from one month to another. So now it's a total of $12.19. Along with a little warning here, our records indicate your account is past due.
Oh.
Prompt payment of unpaid balance is required. Please disregard this message if you have made your payment. Well, I'm not going to disregard the message, but I'm also not going to heed it. I hereby, right now, stand firm in saying that I will not pay this bill. I will never pay this bill because it's a ridiculous bill. What am I paying for? I'm paying for absolutely nothing. I'm paying a tax. You know, when it's part of the phone bill, when it's part of one big thing, okay, you can sort of like, you know, swallow it up. But, you know, imagine if every time you paid something, you got a separate bill for national sales tax. You got a separate bill for state sales tax. You got a separate bill for the MTA surcharge, which is particularly good tonight. You just got to draw the line somewhere, you know? I'm not wasting my time on this. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do to me when I don't pay this bill? Are they going to cut me off? That's great. That's what I want. I don't want their service. I do not want AT&T on this phone line, but they keep sending me bills anyway.
Well, you're going to get a lot of very angry calls from collection agencies.
No, I'm not going to get very angry calls. You know why? Because that's my ISDN line. It's outgoing. It's always busy, so they're never going to get through.
All right.
It's ridiculous. Well, you know, I'm just going to ask them right now. All right, I'm going to try to be polite about this, okay? Because you have to be. Call AT&T. Just, you know, lay your cards on the line. That's what you have to do.
AT&T. Thank you for calling AT&T, your long-distance, wireless, and internet access company. For assistance with AT&T service, billing, or charges, or to report a move, press 1. To sign up for AT&T calling plans or for sales assistance, press 2. For specific AT&T products such as calling cards, EasyReach 800, wireless or WorldNet, press 3. To hear this information again, press 7.
I think 1 is best suited for us.
We're not moving?
Well, no, it's just for service questions.
Okay.
This system can be used to answer your questions.
No, I don't want a system. I want a person.
AT&T. If you are calling about local service provided by any other company, please call that company
obviously
directly.
If you're calling because you're having a heart attack, call the police or something. Yeah, obviously.
Number, press 1. If not, press 2.
But what'd she say?
I think if you have a touch-tone phone, hit 1.
Oh. Of course I have a touch-tone phone. How did I get here?
Please hold while we access your account.
No, I don't.
Please hold to speak with an AT&T representative.
Well, how can they be accessing my account?
Thank you for calling AT&T. Currently, all our agents are... AT&T, how can I help you?
Yes, hi. I've got a question. I don't actually have my bill in front of me, but I recently started getting AT&T bills separately in the mail instead of coming with my regular phone bill.
Okay, and what's your area code and phone number?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I don't actually know my number because it's the number I never use. I use it to connect to the internet thing.
The internet, right?
Yeah,
okay.
And it's always connected. Now I'm getting a phone bill every month, even though I don't use AT&T, and I'm wondering why. It's like for $5 or something.
Let's try this way. What's your last name?
Goldstein. But it's not listed. You know, I don't even know who listed the line. It's not listed under my name. It's listed under someone else that is no longer there.
Do you know their name?
Well, I could try and pronounce it, but it's I don't know how to spell it properly. I don't think we'd find it. I was just wondering, do you have general information as to why I'm getting a phone bill when I don't use the, you know, it's for like taxes and things like that.
Right. If you have a, you know, if it's on a separate account, then you're going to get billed for it. It's not combined with your main telephone number.
But I don't use any long distance. That's the thing.
Right. But you still get billed the taxes on it. Because we just for having an account, we've got to pay out money to the FCC and your local phone company to maintain that account.
But I don't want an account. I never asked for an account.
And in order to get it canceled, I have to find the account. That's why I'm trying to, you know, get the last name of who you think it's under.
Well, when I get home, I'll look it up. I'll find the phone bill, and I'll call back. But what I want to know is, if I cancel the account, does that mean I won't get any bill at all? I mean, can I just do that?
Yeah, you'll still get your local bill.
I know that, yeah. But I was told that there's a charge, a monthly charge, not to have a long-distance company.
Yeah, your local company will charge you a toll restriction fee.
Right,
it'll be cheaper than what these taxes are, though.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's just, you know, I've never gotten a bill before for nothing, you know, and that's really what this is. I'm getting, you know, a monthly bill for tax on something that I don't use, which,
right.
I mean, it does seem kind of unusual, doesn't it?
It seems very unusual. I do understand, you know, from your perspective.
Do you get a lot of people calling about this?
Tons and tons and tons.
Really?
Okay. All day long.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, that is something that we're getting, you know, big questions on right now.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, if as soon as you shifted to the individual billing, I think that's when people started to notice, because I've been paying this for probably years without realizing it, you know, my Bell Atlantic bill.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I'm getting a separate bill for tax. So it definitely stands out.
Yeah, if you get that number for us and give us a call, we can get it canceled for you.
Okay, I'll do that as soon as I get home then.
Okay, sir.
Thanks for your help.
And you are welcome.
Bye-bye.
Oh. Tons and tons.
Tons and tons and tons. So we got some valuable information out of that. And if you're out there someplace and you have a phone and a phone bill, go look at it now and see if you have a phone line somewhere, you know, a fax line that only takes incoming calls, an internet line that's only connected locally, and you're paying every month taxes for a service you don't use, do something about it. Now, what I really don't like about this, though, is when I do call Bell Atlantic and get that turned off, they're going to charge me to change my long-distance company, even though I'm changing to nothing, and they're going to charge me a monthly fee.
Yep.
So, I mean, either way,
it's like $1.76.
No, I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. But I do intend to do that.
For the no long distance?
Next week, I'll have more information, hopefully, on how much it's going to cost me to do that.
I have to look at my bill again.
Yeah. Speaking of phones, okay, here's another potential problem I'm running into with telephones. By the way, our telephone number, 212-209-2900, I'll be taking phone calls in just a couple of minutes. Sprint PCS, as you know,
yes.
Got a new Sprint PCS phone.
It's a really cool ring.
It's a really cool ring, but there's a really uncool thing about it, too.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, the surfing the web thing is kind of neat. I do like that. You hit menu, and then you hit 9, and it says airtime fees apply for browser use, and then you hit OK. Here's the problem. Right now it says waiting, waiting, waiting. Now, when you hit OK, that's when the 30-cent a minute bill apparently begins. Now, I don't know this for sure yet, but I looked at my first bill, and it looked a little high, even though the first month was covered by the free promo.
Mm-hmm.
It's still waiting. It has not connected yet. Most of the time, it does not connect successfully. And I believe what they are doing, and I'll confirm this when the next bill comes, I believe what they are doing is simply charging people for all the time it takes them to try and connect to the net. Still waiting here. Still says waiting. RSA, datasecurityphone.com, not sending. It can take several minutes just to get some kind of a response. And then once you get the response, you still haven't gotten anywhere. You still have to enter the site you want to go to and wait for that to respond.
Well, it takes a little while to type it in, too.
And you have to type it in. You have to type it in properly. And then once you type it in, then and it responds, and you have to navigate that site, It can mount up pretty fast. But here's, I just got service not available. Now, did I just pay for that? Did I just pay for the service not available? Now, I have two choices, retry or done. Here's what happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was downtown, just, you know, hanging out. I think we were at around the clock or something like that. And then we walked over to Yafa afterwards. You know, that was a couple hours right there. I forgot to hit no, stop, done, finished. I looked at my phone. It was still in the mode. It was still there. It doesn't time out. Somehow I've been billed, I think. I haven't gotten the bill yet, but I'll know in a week or two, for 2.5 hours of being connected to the web, supposedly, even though I wasn't, even though I wasn't doing anything. It's what I call a scam because, you know, that's taking advantage of people. I mean, it just sits here. It just sits here, and until you hit the right key to exit it, you'll get billed.
Maybe.
I'm 90% certain because I looked at my first bill and I saw a lot of connects, and I only connected, I think, successfully twice. Now, it was covered by the first month's promo. I don't think this one is going to be covered by that, though, so I may have quite a battle on my hands. So I'm going to hit N now to get out of this mode. Okay. Billing has stopped.
And remember, folks, always use your key guard.
Yeah, key guard is a good thing. You know, my OmniPoint phone was dialing 911 on its own.
Really?
Without the key. For some reason, it was in my pocket, and you know, I looked at it, it's like, 911, oh my God, what's it doing that for? Apparently it felt in danger for some reason. EasyPass sent me a handy little four-digit PIN that I can use to access my account, either over the Touchtone phone or on the Internet, World Wide Web.
Four digits, you know, really lengthy.
Yeah, it's really lengthy, but even
very
less
secure.
Even less useful than that is... the fact that, first of all, my problem is EasyPass does not send me statements. They're supposed to, but they don't. I've been on them about this for years, literally, and they just don't do it. So I figure, okay, this is good. The next best thing, at least I can look online, find out where I've been, where my EasyPass tag has been anyway. EasyPass, for those people who don't know, is the thing you stick in your car, and you go through tunnels and bridges and other monitoring devices that find out how fast you're going and where you are. But the idea is that it deducts money from your account. You don't have to stop at toll booths and throw quarters into baskets.
Well, that's always fun.
There are actually
very few basket tolls anymore.
Really?
Which bothers me.
Try the Garden State Parkway. Every 10 feet there's one.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, they sent me this handy-dandy thing. They didn't send me my account number. So it's useless.
Whoops.
I have no idea, and there's no space for them to send me an account number. I have no idea how to get this information, because nothing they send me has my account number on, because they don't send me a statement. So how do I get onto their system to find out about my account when they don't send me the account number and it just gets deducted from my credit card every month? You know, it's really frustrating. All right, so one bit of good news, though. I got my class settlement from 9X. Yeah, you didn't know I was involved in a class settlement suit.
No,
it was news to me, too. But apparently, if you recall, a couple of years ago, there was this scandal where 9X was accidentally not blocking people who wanted their caller ID blocked. And I happened to be one of them.
Whoops.
Yeah, so for a couple of months, various calls that I made that I really didn't want to be identified with, I wound up being identified with.
Is this related to the OmniPoint problem? Or
no, this is totally different. Separate. This is just 9X not knowing how to program their switches properly.
Oh, okay.
Basically, I guess everybody who was affected by that got a check in the mail as the final settlement from 9X class action. Doesn't really give the details as to what it's for, so, you know, it could be a number of things. But I assume, since that's the only really bad thing that they did that, you know, I could sue them for, that that's what this was about.
And how much did you make?
Well, what do you think? What do you think my privacy is worth? What do you think having the horror and embarrassment of making phone calls to people thinking that you're anonymous and then having your number, you know, just publicly spat out to the whole world, what do you think that's worth?
I'm thinking of a number less than a dollar.
No, you don't have very high regard for privacy, but no, it's
a matter of how much can this class action suit have found in damages and then divide it by how many people were involved.
I think you should look at every individual case, you know, and say how much is this person's privacy worth.
Flood the courts forever.
Yeah, well, apparently they think my privacy is worth $19.98. So
that's a lot better than I thought.
Just under $20, yeah.
That's not bad.
I guess. I think it costs more to subscribe to caller ID, but Never mind. All right, here's a story you're going to like. First of all, I sent in my forms to visit Kevin in prison.
Excellent.
Yeah, which I'll be doing next month, hopefully. Well, assuming I get accepted. There are all kinds of
wait a second.
Requirements.
Isn't he getting out next month?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to visit him before he gets out. We're heading out there to cover the festivities, and we'll visit him the day before or 2 days before or whatever. There are all kinds of restrictions involved in this, and all kinds of things you're not supposed to do. And you have to fill out this form with all kinds of information on it. Name, date of birth, telephone number, including area code, race and sex of visitor.
Well, that's just to identify you.
You are not required to supply the information requested. However, if you do not furnish the information, the processing of your request will be suspended, and you will receive no further consideration. So, now, that's double talk to me, because you are required to provide the information then.
You're not required to see the inmate.
Well, yeah, okay.
It's very simple. If you don't play by our rules, you don't play.
Let's speak English here for a second, all right? To fill out this form, you are required to fill in the information. Now, I don't think there's anything that says you are required by penalty of law to fill out this form.
Correct.
Who would think that? Who would think that getting this form from a prison, you are required, you know, to fill it out, and that's just the way it is? No. In that context, you are not required to supply the information requested. You are required to, because if you want to fill out the form, you have to provide the information.
Well, if you want to fill out the form, it all goes back to...
I wouldn't last long in prison with this mentality, I'll tell you that right now. No, I just have problems with the way they phrase things.
It's legalese.
Yeah. Criminal penalty for making false statements. Fine of not more than $250,000 or imprisonment for more than 5 years. So I could lie on this form. Isn't that great? The prison can send me a form, I could lie on it, and then I can be invited to the prison. what a great country. There's more that you have to fill in. You have to give them your social security number, of course. You have to fill out this question, which, again, makes me wonder how big in the mentality department these people really rank. Do you desire to visit him or her? Now, why in the world would you be filling out a form to visit an inmate if you didn't desire to visit them?
Well, he may request your presence.
Yeah, but you don't have to fill out the form. I mean,
yeah.
I just don't get this at all. So, yeah. I like to fill out the entire form and say, oh, no, I don't want to visit the person.
They're trying
see what
to
they
catch
do
every possibility of somebody being stupid and perhaps suing them.
Very interesting. So we'll see how that goes. Should take a couple of weeks to process that. But something else, this comes from the Prison Legal News, which is a really cool publication that we get every month, I think. Yeah, it's a monthly publication. And here's a very interesting article. They've got incredible articles about what happens inside prisons and what happens outside prisons, too, as far as building them and the whole prison mentality. Defense Department satellites designed to help guide nuclear missiles hang in geosynchronous orbit 12,500 miles above Earth. The network of 24 military satellites hasn't been used much as far as, since the Cold War ended. So the Pentagon has started to lease satellite time to private companies, like the one that uses them to monitor people on parole and probation. With more than 4 million people on some type of supervision in the U.S. alone, there is room for growth. It's described as phenomenal. Some 11,000 people are currently under house arrest using older technology that is more costly and less reliable. I guess kind of like what we featured a few weeks ago, the ankle bracelet.
Very stylish.
In Omaha, Nebraska, they're using the ComTrack monitoring system to follow 100 people. Actually, that's where the company is based. 100 people in 9 states. The cost for monitoring sex offenders in Chicago to juvenile delinquents in New Jersey is $12.50 per day. The ComTrack system consists of a wristwatch-sized bracelet, a 3-pound tracking unit resembling a portable telephone, and a battery charger base unit kept at the monitored person's home. The base unit sends information by telephone to a monitoring center. Take off the bracelet or move more than 50 feet from the tracking unit, and an alarm goes off at the center. So this isn't exactly... They're not tracking the actual people with little homing devices on them, but they are tracking the base unit in the house. And that base unit communicates with the satellite, and if you take off the bracelet or move more than 50 feet away, then something happens, and it transmits to the satellite, I believe. So it's pretty interesting. The system is used to set up zones where the monitored person can and can't go. Sexual predators can be excluded from schools or parks. Actually, this kind of implies the opposite. Drunk drivers banned from bars. Abusive spouses forbidden from stalking their mate at home or work. The monitoring center is automatically notified of any out-of-bounds violations and alerts authorities immediately. So, yeah, it looks like there's some really interesting technology here. While many in the criminal justice system applaud the next-generation monitoring technology, there are some who are reminded of the ominous future of George Orwell's 1984. While conceding Comtrack has the power to change the face of law enforcement and incarceration, according to USA Today, Paul Rothstein, Georgetown University law professor, worries about its potential for creating a monster. He thinks such advances in technology won't be used to monitor just those on parole. You could end up with a majority of the population under some kind of surveillance by the government. And I'd like to give out the address for the Prison Legal News, PLN. They're at, it's really a cool publication to find out what's going on with our nation's prisons. PMB 148, and that's 2400 Northwest 80th Street, Seattle, Washington 98117. Okay, and we're just about ready to take phone calls. Interesting bit of news, which we didn't have time to mention over the past couple of weeks because of all the mayhem, but did you know that we just opened, 2600 just opened an online store for the first time ever?
I did not.
Well, it's a pretty scary thing. On our website, we actually have a link to it, and it's just, it's really weird being on the other side of something like this because you see how electronic commerce works, and it's, there's a lot of lessons to be learned. I'm still learning all kinds of things about how they verify credit cards and you know, monitor who's doing what with what cards and things like that. It's interesting. And apparently that's what's big these days on the internet.
So
online
sales.
What
are we selling?
Whatever it is we sell, you know, magazines and hats and things
like
that.
Shirts and stuff?
Yeah, all that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
Everything. So, yeah, if you have ideas of things to sell, by all means. I think we also have copies of the show, the CD-ROMs.
Hey.
Although you can listen to all the shows on the web free of charge. So go to the website and listen to the shows from 1988 on.
Yeah, but the CDs are helpful.
CDs are kind of helpful, time, yeah. So. Yeah, they're kind of helpful if you don't want to download all the files.
I got a 288 modem, so you know, having the media right in front of me is very nice.
Yes. All right, we're going to take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. And let's go over... You know, that's him. They don't want to take that one. I'm going to go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up? It's Che.
Hey, how are you?
I have two things. The first is, when's the next issue of 2600 coming out?
Well, from what I'm told, it's being printed right now. It should be finished printed by the time the holidays. This is the funny time of year where people take off at certain times. So hopefully it'll be finished by the time the holidays hit. If it is, then it'll be sent out the week between holidays. If it isn't, it might not get sent out to the after the holidays are all finished.
All right, and can you give me the IP address for eToy?
You know, I wish I could, but I don't have it handy. But if you go to our website, I think we just put up a story about them. I'm glad you mentioned that because eToy had their email service shut off since last week's show. If you recall, we gave out eToy's email address. The website had been taken down because eToy's was pressuring them and got a judge to impose a $10,000 a day fine if they kept it up. But they were able to hold on to the site, eToy.com. Apparently, that has been shut down, too. We don't have more details than that right now, but... if you go to the website, we're going to be posting updates as we get them.
Okay, thanks.
All right. And I believe they're receiving all email now through an IP. Or actually, they have a website on an IP right now. So it's a really messed up situation. Just an indication of how a bunch of people using the net for, I don't know, just non-commercial purposes can be totally victimized by the big people when they get a hold of things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to pick up on what you were talking about regarding the bills from AT&T.
Uh-huh.
I just got a letter in the mail this month. It's dated December 99, and it says that there will be a new charge, a minimum $3 a month charge, for if you don't use... any if you don't make any calls, any long-distance calls on AT&T, because I have AT&T as my access, as my carrier. But what I do is I use some of the other access numbers to get a cheaper rate.
Uh-huh.
And so now they've instituted this new policy, $3 a month minimum. And it's just another one of these nickel and diming types of you know, charges where, you know, it just makes it that much more expensive every month, and you're getting nothing for it, like
yeah,
you were saying.
You know, you're absolutely right, because I'm looking at the bill, and there's a $3 charge on there. This is the difference between the $3 monthly usage minimum and your month qualifying calls and charges. If your AT&T bill is more than 1 month, it's total for your billing period. Yeah, that's unbelievable. So
that just started, as according to my letter, that in December. Now, the one funny thing is that they date the letter December. I didn't get it until about the middle of December.
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, they start charging you and then tell you about it, you know, after they've already started charging you, so that you don't even have an opportunity to say, well, I don't want to pay that charge. I'm going to leave. You know, you're already billed.
Uh-huh.
And another thing, a couple of points. One access carrier that I found to be about the cheapest, at least for 24-hour access state-to-state, is 101.6868.
Mm-hmm.
They're 7.9 cents a minute, which is not too bad.
Except trying to figure out 7.9 cents.
Well, think of it as 8 cents. I mean, it's still better than AT&T, at least during the daytime hours. If you go MCI, they have the 5 cent a minute deal on the weekends.
That's only weekends, right?
It's only on the weekends.
But is there any kind of minimum charge?
No, there's no monthly and there's no minimum. In fact, just to test it, on 1 month I made one call for 1 minute just to see what they would do.
Uh-huh.
And I got a bill for 8 cents.
Good, okay.
So,
that's a good way to test it.
Yeah, exactly. And one last thing, I would like to see if you ever can get into it, to do a show on these phone cards that are sold like on newsstands and whatever. You know, you pay $5 or 10 or 20.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is that they all have all sorts of hidden charges in them. There's monthly maintenance fees.
Mm-hmm.
There's minimum charges, connection charges, so that they advertise themselves as if you look at these signs on newsstands, they say 3 cents a minute or something like that. But in reality, when you make a call, it's costing you a lot more than 3 cents because of all these extra fees. And when you buy a card for, say, $10, you think you have a lot of minutes of calls, but
mm-hmm.
no way. You end up running out of that money real quickly, and then you're always left with a little piece of money at the end that is not enough to make a call on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have they're not only scamming you that, you know, when they're billing you, but they're also scamming you in the sense that they're holding on to those pieces from all these people that are, you know, using phone cards.
Plus, there's no way to really verify if their records correlate with your records.
Well, that's also true, because when I used them, I found that I started out with $10. All of a sudden, I was down to $6. Then I was down to $3, and I'd only made two calls for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this may be something that maybe some other people know a little more about than I do.
Well, I suspect what might have happened, maybe you made the phone call from a payphone and they added in that payphone
surcharge.
Well,
that's another one. Sure. That's probably exactly what happened. But, I mean, you know, these are things that somebody who is not really up on this stuff, just looking at the ads that are posted, you know, these
mm-hmm.
posters they put up, would be totally misled in terms of what the real charges are. Oh, and one last thing. I found that there are some phones in Manhattan where you can make a one-minute long-distance call to any state for 25 cents for 1 minute. But if you go to a phone across the street, also AT&T,
mm-hmm.
it may be a three-minute minimum, 75 cents. And then if you go to some other phones, they'll charge you something like $3.80.
Right.
So, you know, depending on which phone you go to, if you just want to make a quick call, it can vary from 25 cents to almost $4. So
the Bell Atlantic phones will charge you the huge rate for a payphone call long distance. There are some co-cuts that charge 25 cents a minute anywhere in the country, which
right.
is a fairly good deal.
Pretty much
the only good deal I've ever seen at a co-cut.
Exactly. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Bye.
The thing with the AT&T charge, though, is that $3 minimum, at least that's something that you can go to another company and just drop AT&T and get rid of the charge that way. That's not something that you'll get charged every month for not using them if it was a different company. That's AT&T policy, and that's something that people need to fight back against. But it's confusing. It really is very confusing out there as far as how to make a call and not get completely ripped off. I mean, the payphone surcharge is one really horrible thing where they charge you something like 35 cents if you make an 800 call from a payphone. They charge the person who owns the 800 number. So what happens is many times people who operate phone companies charge that back to the customer. And that's probably what happened to this person with their card. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Emmanuel.
Let's make this quick, all right? Let's get this over with.
Okay. You should make your checks and your deposit for year 2000 compliant, because some checks and deposit tickets will have date, a line, and then 19, and then another line.
Yes, but did you ever think of it this way? If you were to deposit the amount of money that you get and it was dated 1900, the interest on that alone would pay for any inconvenience, probably a lot more, all right? So I'm gonna deposit my money in 1900 and demand the interest.
And the touchstone fee will be ending in New Jersey.
It will be.
Yes, you know why? Because
hallelujah.
I shouldn't say now at this point, but at some point, because I called the governor's office and mentioned it, and they said they're going to talk to the state utility.
Way to go, Rebel. You ended the touchstone fee in New Jersey. Okay,
that's
well, I have to have a parade for you.
How is Ms. Whitman?
In New Jersey. I'm sorry, what?
Right.
How is Governor Whitman? Doing well?
What?
How is Governor Whitman?
He knows the governor's name.
She seems to be doing well when I talk to her.
Oh, excellent. Well, good to hear.
I'm sure she won't be running for a re-election. Okay, thank you very much for that call and for that cheerful update. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening. The cheapest way to go is to cancel your long distance, and as that gentleman said, 101-6868,
mm-hmm.
I believe has no charge. They've never charged me any minimums.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, this fee that they're charging, if you don't pay it, they'll cancel your long-distance service.
Yeah,
but
I know.
If you've already canceled your long-distance service,
right?
What can they do?
I just want to see how far this goes. You know, I'm not going to pay this bill, and they're going to keep threatening me. But what are they going to threaten me with? We're going to stop charging you tax if you don't pay us.
Well, you can dispute it, but at some point they might put a block on your long-distance. But if you cancel your long-distance and don't have it,
uh-huh.
I canceled my long-distance, and I can still access the 101 whatever you want to dial.
But you see, this is my ISDN line. I never even make a phone call on it. So I don't think it's going to matter if they do that.
Well, you know, years ago they had this wire maintenance charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they offered something. They said, all right, you can buy your inside wiring. And I figured it out. And I said, okay, it'll take me so much to buy it. By the time I get through buying it, I figured I'd have no charge anymore. Then they did away with the wire maintenance charge. So it's like they figure this whole thing out. They calculate it. They got people who plan this whole thing, and the pennies add up. It's amazing.
It's amazing how much time we spend talking about fees for absolutely nothing. You know, touchtone fees, payphone fees, taxes on services you don't use. How much money are these people making from this?
But I want to just bring up something else, which is really interesting, and I just got into it. Gas has been deregulated, and if you really look at your gas bill, there's a minimum charge. They charge you a minimum of 6 therms every day. And, I mean, I never knew all this until I really started looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain ESCOs, they call them out there, that just charge a flat rate. And there's no tax because they buy it from out of state and sell it to us from out of state. So everything stays the same. Brooklyn Union or Con Edison continue supplying us. And they're saying, oh, we're so happy. They've been deregulated. And, you know, they have to be happy because they have no choice. But this is, I mean, I would suggest to anybody that's out there, take advantage of this because you'll save anywhere from, $120 to who knows what. You're going to save 15% to 30% on your bill. Find some seller, reseller, and if you don't like it, just switch. The same thing is happening with gas that happened with the phones 10 years ago. And I'm suggesting it to people. I'm saying, mm-hmm. Hey, look what I did. I'm saving this, whatever. Nah, I've been getting screwed by Con Edison for years. I'm going to keep on. You know, I mean, I don't understand this mentality.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's well, people are kind of wary of making any kind of change. And I think what's happened with the phone system is a good reason why. It's so confusing now. People are getting charged for all kinds of things. And the general consensus is that, you know, the safest thing to do is just stay put.
Can't you make free calls, though, on the Internet?
Well, you can make free calls on the Internet, but, you know, it's for most people, that's a hassle.
But I mean, I understand there are services where you pay a fee, maybe $25 a month or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and everything is free. It's all just free.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything's going to be free soon, and then they're going to charge us for the air that we breathe. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Well, that's
the pulse tax.
Anyway, yeah. Let me make room for somebody, some other good comments here.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Enjoy your show. Thanks.
212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. Two things. I noticed while I was on the phone, I heard another conversation, but...
Uh-oh.
I don't know,
Was it one of our conversations?
No, it was totally different.
Really?
Yeah, but...
Are you on a cordless phone, perhaps?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, there you go.
It could be. Well, it could be on your end, probably. I mean.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But now I don't hear it.
But they didn't hear you?
Yeah, they didn't hear me, no.
Ah, interesting. You get any good information from them?
What?
You get any good information from them?
No.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I originally called about, last night I tried going to Network Solutions website.
Uh-huh.
But I got something like Alaska.net or something.
Really?
On both NetworkSolutions.com and Netsol.com. But then, after 5 minutes later, it was gone.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what that is.
Well, it doesn't sound like a hack. It sounds like someone at Network Solutions kind of typed the wrong keys. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
Well, not necessarily. It could be just his name server that cached the wrong information.
That's
could
possible.
Be a lot of things.
Yeah, it could be a bunch of things. It doesn't sound like a hacked page, though.
And in response to the last person who called, do you know of a company that you can make quick two-minute calls?
Is this the one where you have to listen to an advertisement?
Yeah.
Okay, what company is that?
My Talk.
My Talk? How does it work?
You call up, you sign up on their website.
Uh-huh.
It's mostly voicemail and all that, you know, free stuff. Email address, hear it over the phone, voicemail. But anyway, you dial the 888 number. They have, like, several different 888 numbers with a four-digit code and six-digit password.
Uh-huh.
And you first you hear a message when you log in. Then if you want to make a call anywhere in the U.S., you say, dial my number. Then dial a, what is the command? Dial a number.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, you hear three commercials. Then you get to say or dial in the number you want to call.
Uh-huh.
But after 2 minutes, automatically, with no warning, it goes back to the 888 number, and then you can say dial number again.
How long are these commercials?
They're like 10 seconds each.
So that's 30 seconds of commercials you have to sit through.
Yeah.
Hmm,
but
interesting.
It's free. But it kind of gets annoying if you keep on having to call the same person back every 2 minutes.
Yes, that's true. I can imagine. What if the person's not in, too? What happens then? You know, if you don't get an answer or a busy signal? You get a credit for the commercials?
You go back to the 8 number and...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you have to sit through that.
Yeah.
But it's a free way. It doesn't go on the phone bill or anything. It works on payphones too.
Uh-huh.
So it's...
So they don't charge you an extra fee for the payphone. I guess that's kind of good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect your phone bill at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's mytalk.com.
Okay.
MY.
All right. Well, thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
All right.
That's worth investigating, if only if you're, like, driving state to state and you're stuck on the side of the road and all you have is a payphone and you have to call home and
uh-huh.
you're completely broke and, you know, there's some dog trying to scratch through the payphone.
Yeah, and they don't mind sitting through 30 seconds of commercials while you're trying to get through to, you know, Aunt Mabel who can help you somewhere.
Exactly.
I don't know. I hate commercials. I just hate commercials. They're everywhere. You know, they drive me crazy. Everywhere you look, on the web, on TV, radio, just commercials.
You should read
books. Now we hear, there's going to be advertisements in books.
They're called magazines.
No, I mean books. Can you imagine this? I'm giving them ideas now, I'll bet.
No, there already are.
You open up a book, and there's advertisements in the book. And that helps
pay. In the last few pages of a lot of trade paperbacks,
not those kind of books. Real books. Books, you know, novels, things like that.
Hardcover.
Yeah. Books. Can you imagine they're going to put advertisements in those?
Why? You already pay $30 for them.
Well, why do you have advertisements on cable TV? You know, you already pay for that.
Well, that's because the companies are making lots of money.
It's ridiculous. I think anti-advertising is the way to go. But everybody visit adbusters.org. I think that's the place to go to find out about that. All right, let's take another phone call. Let's go down here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Emmanuel?
How are you?
All right, Joe from Jersey.
Hi.
Just a couple of comments. I called you a couple months ago, told you about Comcast Cellular One,
uh-huh.
that they were charging tax on calls that should have been part of your free monthly minutes. They are now crediting back the tax, so that got straightened out.
That's good.
I always, you know, bring up bad things, so we got to bring up a good thing.
Did you get a heartfelt apology from them?
No. It was just it was hidden in such a way that you couldn't see the tax was being credited back, and now it's pretty obvious after many, many phone calls.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
This last caller who called about get 2 minutes free. People keep saying free, but isn't your time worth anything to listen to these commercials?
Thank you. Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, people sell themselves short.
Yeah.
So that's crazy, and I think we've been around long enough. Have you really come across anything that's been free? You know, if it is free, it pretty much gets closed up and disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff. You have the you talk about your bills and the taxes. FCC, call the FCC, and you request them. They'll fax you over all the sheets that tells you all these hidden charges on your phone bill that they've basically not mandating, but they've allowed all these individual phone companies to charge, and everybody charges a different rate back. And what a lot of them are is subscriber line charges that help offset Bell Atlantic, in this case, is expenses because they can't charge enough to cover their hard costs, supposedly. So all of these low minutes and stuff that we're getting, when you factor in all these taxes back, you're 7 cents or 10 cents a minute. Tack another 5 cents onto those.
Yeah.
Unless you make 10,000 calls a month, minutes a month, you know, and even a $4.95 charge, if you happen to only do 100 or 500 minutes a month, that's another penny or 5 cents on top of these supposedly low rates. So are we really saving anything by doing all of this? There's a lot of long-distance companies out there that do not have monthly access charge of $4.95, but can still give you a good rate, say 8 cents a minute or so.
Yeah, you just might have to dial a few more digits, but if you put that into some kind of speed dial thing, you just hit one button and it all goes through.
Well, like I'm using a company that's a reseller of Wiltel and all these other guys, and you know, it's like 7.9 cents a minute. It's just pick up one plus, and there's no 101 or any of this.
Uh-huh.
But there's no $4.95 a month. There's no minimum charge. The only thing now with the subscriber line charge is really crazy. Is if you don't make any long distance calls, the long distance carrier still charges you this amount. Say $4.95 a month to pay back. It's like a VIG to Bell Atlantic to allow them to use their lines to supply you long distance service. But if you call this, if you call the FCC, the 800 number, 888 number that you get from information, that you talk to somebody about FCC charges for long distance, they'll fax you 8 or 10 pages. And when you read this stuff, you cannot believe what they're getting away with. I mean, the FCC doesn't mandate it, but they just allow these guys carte blanche to charge you, and some guys even charge you more than they're paying back to the local carrier. It's getting really out of hand, and it's more than ever, so buyer beware. I mean, every which way you turn, somebody's looking to take advantage. And
well,
this gas deregulation, right now it's still in its infancy, and it's even though they tout 15% savings or so, it's really too early to get involved with that, because we've been investigating it, you know, my company, and you're really not going to save much. As a matter of fact, PSE&G here in Jersey is already reducing your rates, I think, 5% a month for 5% a year for 3 years. So they're going to get their rates down. But you're really not saving anything by going outside, because they're going to do the same thing. PSE&G, say, is going to charge you a fee for letting this other company provide you gas. And then you're going to be back in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like long distance. All these guys are allowed to tap in and bill you. But all they're really doing is using someone else's hardwire. So how are they really providing you service? You know, it really gets tricky. And then all these hidden charges in there, and then there's the universal charge, and then there's underprivileged area charges to extend their long-distance service.
Well, my favorite is when they have to pay back something that they were forced to pay because they make so much profit. Like they had to provide internet access to schools because they were a huge company, and then they just charge that back to the customer. So they're not really doing anything. All they're doing is funneling money.
And a lot of this stuff is hidden in the Telecommunications Act that Clinton passed a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then also NAFTA and GATT and all of that has so many hidden things in there that we have yet to get experience on that one. Pretty wild stuff going on, though, but when people say, you know, oh, phone calls are free, or there's nothing free. And any time you use these services, they're collecting information on you to just solicit you another way.
That's true. That's
you
very
know, every
true.
Time you pick up a phone or make a call to a friend, I mean, they have two people listening.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand why you're not getting a bill, though, from Easy Pass.
I don't either, and they don't seem to understand it themselves.
I think you need to close that account and open another one.
Yeah, well, then I got to deal with getting new Easy Passes in the mail, and it's a hassle.
Because we find I have one truck and three cars on Easy Pass, mm-hmm. the company, and we find at least a dozen mistakes a year.
Really? What kind of mistakes?
They bill you for a bridge you haven't been over.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I guess I do have to check into this then. I'll call them tomorrow and make sure they.
And the only bad thing about Easy Pass, it's great if you have it. If you don't have it, they're like knock out half the lanes,
uh-huh.
and they've got all these cars trying to pay cash going through three booths when they have four for Easy Pass, and nobody's using them.
Oh, and the traffic lines are so long that they block the four empty lanes for the Easy Pass people.
Yeah, no, that happens.
So they're stuck on the off ramp until.
Yeah, that happens on the expressway. Hey, thanks for the call. We're going to try to squeeze in one more.
Just one other thing, real quick. I think with Easy Pass, aren't they trying to get it where that's all they want to do is Easy Pass and no cash?
I don't see how they can ever actually get 100% no cash, just like I don't see how they can ever get 100% MetroCard, because there's always going to be somebody out there that wants to buy one token, and to give them a card for that seems kind of silly.
That's why they have those paper cards for MetroCard now.
Oh, is that what they're going to do?
Get them from the vending machines.
Paper cards. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that call. Let's go over here to another one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay.
What's on your mind?
I'm David. A while ago,
mm-hmm.
I got a check from AT&T for $50.
Yeah.
And because of that, I signed up with them. Had the same thing you do, where I started getting first, for 1 month I had like 30, you know, I made like 30 cents or 50 cents worth of calls, and I had, I don't know, something like $4.50, you know, that they were charging me for it. And except after a week and a half, the time it took for the check to get cleared, I called them up and canceled the account, and I also called up the local, the local phone company?
Bell Atlantic?
Bell Atlantic. And you have to cancel it with them also. And I, in exchange for not having any, I use PTI also. I think it's 7.8 cents a minute.
Uh-huh.
And except you have to dial a few extra digits. Well, use a speed dialer to dial them.
Right.
And I pay that, and I believe it's either a 50 or 75 cent service charge for not having a long-distance phone carrier a month.
Well, you know, that doesn't sound like much, but when you consider how many people that would encompass, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's another charge for nothing, you know,
right.
not having something. For not having your phone listed in the phone book, there's a charge, you know. It's it does add up.
And there is also, I mean, on the net, there's something that I haven't, there's some friends of mine use something called Dialpad,
uh-huh.
which is completely free. To sign up for it, though, you have to have a computer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a disadvantage.
Except you have to get through to them.
Uh-huh.
And then after you initially sign up, you don't need to use the computer. And there's also something called VisiTalk, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
And there's something called the Zoo, which if you sign up for, you can use public phones, and they're 3.5 cents a minute, except you have to send them money in advance.
Ah, a lot of people will be loath to do that.
But it's 3.5 cents a minute, and I want to investigate them further, but when I looked at their website, there was nothing that said monthly fees or mm-hmm. you know, monthly service charges or things like that, or minimum amounts.
Okay, hey, we're out of time, but
okay,
thanks for the information, and I do encourage listeners out there to keep looking into things and experimenting on ways to make cheap or free phone calls, and let us know what they are, and we'll pass that information along. And also, if you get weird bills for things that you shouldn't be getting bills for, by all means, send that in as well, because there's a lot of that going around. Until next week, it's Emmanuel Goldstein for Isaac. Have yourselves a good night and a good week. There may not be any subways or buses, but there will be BAI, so stay tuned. We'll get you through it. Good night.
Make a call. We couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. From Billy Bond for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. From Billy Bond.
I have a lot of bills to pay.
Pay this one.
WBAI?
Yes.
I have a substantial electric bill.
You never turn your radios off.
WBAI is on around the clock.
So pay your pledge to WBAI.
I was trying to save up some money to buy a big pumpkin.
What do you want with a big pumpkin?
I want to carve the mayor's evil face on it to scare people for Halloween.
You should pay your pledge to WBAI.
I have a telephone bill here for $111.